We are holding on Nun Zayin Amud Aleph, four lines from the bottom. We're in the middle of discussing the question if we've discussed a few times in the Perek if an animal's thigh is dislocated, what the din is. We ended up saying the din is that it's treif only if the nivi, the ligaments that hold the joint together have been disakel, have deteriorated or rotted away or whatever. We have machlokas Rashi and the Rambam what the nivi are exactly. Anyway, we were talking about a similar concept with a bird, whether if a bird's leg is dislocated, it's straight or not. So far we said that we had Rabbi Huda telling us in the name of Rab that it is straight. We had Rabbi Huna telling us in the name of Rab that it is that it's kosher. And we started with a discussion of between Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Yumi of Rabbi Abba where there's a difference that Rabbi Yumi bar Abba argues, or actually he says that Rav himself said, that there's a difference between whether the leg is dislocated versus whether when it's cut. When it's cut, then you have a problem with treifus, when it's cut in the area of the Seimus HaGidin. But if it's dislocated, then not necessarily would it be treifus. That's Rashi and Tosfos discussed. Are we talking about dislocated, as in the whole leg is missing, or Tosfos says not if the whole leg is missing, just if it's dislocated but still present on the body? Okay,
that's
fine. Well, so far, but then we have more. Ki solik Rav Abba. Later on, when Rav Abba went up, when Rav Abba moved from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkechel Rav Zeira, he found Rav Zeira, who also had previously moved from Babel to Eretz Yisrael. This is the famous Rav Zeira who fasted in order to forget the Talmud Babli, so he could learn the Talmud Yerushalmi. Anyway, the Yosef Akamah, that Rav Zeira was sitting and saying, because he was doing it in order to be able to learn Torah on a different level. So therefore, in other words, that the way of learning in Babel shouldn't distract him. They should be able to focus on the way of learning in Eretz Yisrael, where he's going to live now. Yes, obviously it's allowed. He did it. But yeah. Okay. Anyway, so Rav Abba found Rav Zeira, the Yosef Akama, that he was sitting and saying, and by the way, you can see from this story, it doesn't mean Rav Zeira completely forgot everything he had learned in Babel. What he wanted to forget was the style of learning in Babel. The style of learning in Babel, we find in various places, including in Sanhedrin, was much more confrontational than in Eretz Yisrael. So that was okay.
How was it in Eretz Yisrael?
In Eretz Yisrael, it was more collegial. It was more, they also asked questions and answered or whatever, but there was less of the competitive, maybe you could say, I guess, a little less of the competitiveness. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin talks about, you have Makal Noyam versus Makal Chovlin, sticks of pleasantness, which characterizes the Chacham of Eretz Yisrael, versus beating each other up in Babel. Anyway, so Rav Abba found Rav Zeira, the Yosef Bakama, he was sitting and saying the din. That Rav Huna had said in the name of Rav that if a bird has its leg dislocated, if its thigh dislocated, then it's treif. So Rav Abba says, how could you be saying that? I swear by the life of the master, meaning by your life, in other words, you should know that ever since you, Rav Zeira, moved from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, We Talmidim who remained in Babel, including Rav Abba saying about himself, we had Pischein Peh Kameh de Rav Huna. We had discussions on this with Rav Huna. Pischein Peh means opening the mouth, but in other words, we had discussions on this with Rav Huna. V'sheilune, so we asked him about what the din is. Ba'amalon shmutas yerach bo'if kshera, and he told us that no, it's kosher. Not like you're saying, not like you're saying his name that he reported that it's treif. And Rav Abba continues, and he repeats over the previous part of the story that we learned yesterday. I, Rav Abba, found Rav Yumi of Abba, who apparently was not necessarily related to him. The Yosef Kabodik Vatsemis HaGidin, that one time he had a case with a bird whose leg was broken or cut or dislocated or whatever, and he was checking the Vatsemis HaGidin to make sure that those weren't damaged. The actually, and I asked him, don't you hold of what Rav Huna said in the name of Rav that the bird's leg is dislocated, it's kosher, so why do you need to bother checking the same as I did? and Omali and Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba answers me, Rav Abba. He says, I'm no masnif in Yedaina. Never mind what Rav Huna is saying. I know what it says in the Mishnah, in the next parak. If an animal's legs were chopped off from the arkuba, from the joint, and downward, then it's kosher. But if it's anywhere above the joint, then it's possible. Yeah, by the way, my colleague is showing him what joint we're talking about over here, but that's whatever. That's something we'll get. Everybody agrees the lower joint is for sure kosher. If it's in the middle joint, then you have a machloekas because we're showing him whether it's kosher or not. Anyway, the point is, and the Mishnah continues over there, the same thing, if the tzemes hagidin of an animal was removed, it'll be safe. And, continues Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba, Rav said on this Mishnah, he said the same din applies to a bird. So therefore, by a bird also, if the leg is broken or whatever, then you have to check the tzemes hagidin.
So when you check the tzemes hagidin, you check the nerves?
You're checking the okay, one second, The tzemes hagidin itself is a bundle of ligaments that is by the, that's by the joint over there, that's by the ankle joint.
Ligament?
I think it's ligaments, maybe it's nerves, I don't know, I'm pretty sure.
Why would you...
Because that's the next animals don't pass away, they die, but whatever. Anyway. Yeah. In the next parak, we're going to establish that there is this bundle called the tzemes hagidin, which is vital to the health of the animal, which is vital to the health and the life of the animal. You have to realize that gidin in Gemara terminology has many different meanings. The word gid in Gemara terminology and halacha terminology in general just means something long and skinny in the body. It can mean, interchangeably, it can mean blood vessels, it can mean nerves.
You said the ligaments.
Okay, and in this particular case, you actually have a machloikus rishonim, which we'll deal with in the next paragraph, what exactly these gidin are. So one possibility is not ligaments, I should say tendons. So one explanation, therefore, that it refers to different tendons that are in that area of the leg.
Why would an animal die
because
of tendons?
We don't know. That is a fact. The Gemara established, we establish in the next paragraph that the tzemes hagidin is vital to the life of the animal, and therefore if those gidin, or if too much of them is damaged or cut or what have you, then the animal is safe. Maybe because it can't walk or whatever the reason is. I don't know. But whatever it is, it's considered something fatal to the animal. Okay. And the Amrile, so Rav Abba continues telling over the discussion that he had with Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba.
So is it fatal to us also?
I don't know. Not necessarily as traces of humans and traces of animals identical. Tosfos discussed that with you in the past. Many times they are, but not necessarily. But depending how you define what these tendons are, one of them may or may not be the Achilles tendon, and you have the you have a myth about it, right? That's why it's called the Achilles tendon, because he was injured over there. Fine. The point is, there's apparently something. I mean, the myths still have to be based on something factual. Apparently, they saw that the person would be injured in that area, or an animal would be injured in that area, and it would kill him. So could be. Again, maybe Nishtanu Achivim. Maybe nowadays it's not. Maybe nowadays it's different. Okay.
No way you're going to die because an Achilles is cut.
Fine. The fact of the matter is, la halacha, if an animal or a bird has its tzemes hagidin damaged, then it's true. With the provision. I'm not necessarily saying that it's the Achilles tendon, but it's some tendons in that area. Again, you have a machloikas who's showing him anyway which area of the leg it's on, which joint of the leg they're on, whether it's in the front or the back of the joint. So there's a number of different possible tendons that could be. We'll discuss it in the next paragraph, Hashem. We'll show some pictures and we'll get into the details. Okay. Anyway. The Amrile, so continues Rav Abba, so I said to Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba, Ihochi kasha d'Rabba d'Rab, if that's the case, then you end up with a contradiction between two statements of Rav, because on the one hand, Rav is saying that Rav Huna has reported in the name of Rav that if the thigh of a bird is dislocated, then the animal is kosher, implying even though the tzemes hagidin are no longer functioning, are no longer doing their job, or maybe even are not present, according to Rashi, because the whole leg may be missing. Nevertheless, it's still kosher. And here you're telling, and here on the other hand, Rav is telling us on the Mishnah that if the tzemes hagidin is removed, the bird is chased. And Ishtik, and Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba was quiet. He didn't answer to that. But actually, And then I asked him, I, Rav Abba, asked Rav Yirmiyahu Baba, the Dilma Shainalei L'Rav Ben Shmuta L'Hatucha, maybe Rav would distinguish between the case where the bird's leg is dislocated versus where it's cut. Maybe he would say if it's dislocated, then it's fine, but if it's cut in the area of the Femis Agidim, then you have a problem. V'omer li, and Rav Yirmiyahu Baba says to me, Rav Abba, v'at mefarshes shmaitz Rav, so you're thinking that this is an independent explanation of Rav's, to reconcile Rav that you yourself just came up with. You should know, b'feirusham Rav shmuta tshera chatocha psula. Rav explicitly said that exact distinction, that there's a difference between whether the leg was dislocated versus whether it was cut. So Rav Abba has just been telling over this whole story, this whole back and forth, to Rav Zera, saying basically, you, Rav Zera, are telling us that Rav Huna reported in the name of Rav that if a bird has its leg dislocated, it's straight. But I'm telling you that many times we've discussed it with Rav Huna, and he said it's kosher, and I just had a whole discussion with Rav Yirmiyahu Baba on it, and he agreed that Rav Huna had said it's kosher, and in fact he said that's the distinction, because there's a difference whether it was dislocated or whether
there's it
was
two interpretations of Rav.
So the question, well, not just those two interpretations of Rav, the problem is, right now, Rav Abba is telling Rav Zera, there's two, you have a contradiction within what Rav Huna himself is reporting in the name of Rav. If you have Rav Huna versus Rav Yehuda, fine, you could say, like we said yesterday, the minhag in Kumbadissa was to declare it tereis, and Rav didn't object to that, and therefore Rav Yehuda thought that's what Rav meant. But if I'm telling you all this time, we've discussed it with Rav Huna, and he always agreed that it's, and he said it's kosher, and Rav Yirmiyahu Baava, who was also one of the great Talmidim of Rav, agreed that that is what Rav Huna said, so then how are you, Rav Zera, telling us that Rav Huna said otherwise? So, va'at ma b'yotcha, so Rav Abba says to Rav Zera, so tell me now that you came to Eretz Yisrael, do you have anything else in your hands on the subject? In other words, is there anything new on this subject that you've learned that makes you say that Rav Huna said that it's true? The answer is Hachi Amar Rav Chiya Ba'ashi Amar Rav Shmutas Yeref Ba'ov Tshreva. Yes, as a matter of fact, he says yes. I've been told that Rav Chiya Ba'ashi said in the name of Rav that if the bird's leg is dislocated, it's Tshreva. So yes, Rav Huna has been saying it's kosher, and yes, you're telling me Rav Yirmiyahu Ba'aba also said that Rav said it's kosher, but I'm telling you now that I have Rav Chiya Ba'ashi telling me in the name of Rav that it's Tshreva. Now, so what is the what?
If someone came and told them that what they know is wrong.
Well, they were taking it personally. This is all Lagdol Torah, all Habira. This is in order to find out the truth of Torah. With that said, the real question is not so much how they feel. The real question is, so what was Rav's opinion? Did he hold it kosher or did he hold it straight? How do we have among his great Talmidim, you have some say it's kosher, some say it's straight. Yeah. So among, there's a couple of different answers. One of them, Rav Yonasan Eibeshitz, gives in his Sefer Kreisi Uplasi on Shulchan Aruch. He says that maybe what it is because you actually have a machlokas yeshonim. What joint are we talking about anyway? Are we talking about the joint where the thigh bone meets the pelvis, or are we talking about lower down where the hip joint, or are we talking about the next joint down where the thigh bone meets the shin bone? Again, remember that in birds, as in animals, you have three long bones. You have the thigh bone, the shin bone, and then you have the lowest part.
Right.
So the tibia and the shin bone, whatever. So where the thigh meets the tibia, maybe what it is, in other words, the different statements of Rav, some of them are referring to the hip joint, and some of them are referring to the knee joint. Okay, so then Rav can
answer the question.
No, but it does answer the question. Therefore, Rav could have said sometimes ksheva, referring to the knee joint, and other times trefa, referring to the hip joint, expecting the Talmidim to know which one is which. Maybe he clarified it. Okay, but his Talmidim are expected to keep track of what he's saying, and like this,
and they didn't.
Well, so that's that. Oh, one second. So ultimately, wait. Okay. V'chein Amar Rav Yaakov Ba'idi Amar Rav Yechon. V'chein refers to this last thing that we just said, that Rav Chiya Ba'ashi reported that Rav said that if a bird has its leg, its thigh dislocated, it's straight. V'chein Amar Rav Yaakov Ba'idi Amar Rav Yechon. And Rav Yaakov Ba'idi says the same thing in the name of Rav Yechon. Shmutas Yerech Ba'oif Trefa, that a bird with a dislocated thigh is chafe. The Amar Rav Yaakov Ba'idi, and in fact, Rav Yaakov Ba'idi says on that, had Rav Yochanan been in one of those places, even though Rav Yochanan himself is saying it's straight, had Rav Yochanan been in any one of those places where our colleagues, where our chaverim, meaning the chachamim, say that it's mutter, as we've had before. We had opinions that said that it's mutter. Loi tarkis. Rabbi Yochanan would not have been able to make a move against it. In other words, that given if like this, Rabbi Yochanan being the head, being the greatest of the Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael, he has his opinion that it's chayv. However, given that we had before various reports that Rav had said it's kosher, and as we see later on in the Masechta, in fact, that Rabbi Yochanan considered, we saw already before actually, that Rabbi Yochanan considered Rav to be much greater than him. He was one of the senior Talmudim of Rebbe. So if Rabbi Yochanan had been in one of those places where their Rav was greater than Rabbi Yochanan, he was one of the senior Talmudim of Rebbe, whereas Rabbi Yochanan was one of the junior Talmudim. So Rabbi Yaakov Ba'idi is saying the only reason Rabbi Yochanan held to his opinion that it's kosher is only because he was never around any of the people who held that it's kosher. But if he had been in Babel, for example, around Rav, who said that it's kosher, Rabbi Yochanan wouldn't have dared to say anything different. The Amr of Chanin, it's not just Rav, the Amr of Chanina Amr Rebbe Shmoteth Yarech Ba'ev Kshema. Because in fact, we have another great opinion who says otherwise. Rabbi Chanina says in the name of Rebbe that a bird that has a dislocated leg is kosher. And in fact, the Tanagolas Hoysalel Rab Chanina, Shanishmata Yarech Shalah, in fact, Rab Chanina had such a case. He had a chicken whose thigh got dislocated, the Hevia Lifnei Rebbe, so Rab Chanina brought the bird to Rebbe to paskin on it, the Tiroloi, and Rebbe declared it kosher, because we just said that Rebbe said it's kosher. Umocha Rab Chanina, so then instead of eating it, what Rab Chanina did is he salted it in order to preserve it long term. And from then on, he kept it around as something to be able to show practical halacha to the Talmidim, that he would show them, you want to see what the din is with a dislocated leg, I'll show you. I actually have a specimen that I showed Rebbe many years ago, and I preserved in order to be able to show you. So the point is, Rabbi Yaakov Ba'idi is saying that Rabbi Yochanan never was around Rabbi Chanino or Rav. If he had been, then he wouldn't have dared to keep his opinion that it's safe in the face of their opinions that it's kosher.
And they got it directly from Rebbe.
Well, Rav at least, we don't know. And Rabbi Chanina at least got it directly from Rebbe, right?
So
okay.
That seems to be...
Okay, however, the less Hilchot HaKachol HaNishmaitza, however the Gemara continues, the halacha is not like all these various teachings of the ones who said that it is mutter. Ella, rather, the halacha is like this. Tihad shal Rabbi Yosi ben Nehorai es Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. It's like this. You have it happened that Rabbi Yosi ben Nehorai asked Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. He starts off with a different question, which then we'll get back to our question. Diras kone bekama. He asks him, if there's a hole in the windpipe where there's substance of it missing, kedira means a hole where something is missing, like a cutout. So how large a hole does it need to be in order for the animal or the bird to be checked?
Kedira is also a pan.
Kedira means a pan. Kedira, it's spelled the same way, yeah, but kedira with a chirik means to pierce through. That's, for example, you have about this famous story of an Akdiman Ben-Gurion when the sun rose for him again in order to, with the whole story over there with the Roman and the 12 wells and whatever. And why was he called Akdiman? One of the Girsayas in the Gemara over there is Shenik Dirachama Bavur. The sun pierced through for his sake. So the word Kedira means to pierce through. Mm-hmm. Okay. So he asked Rabbi Shimon Levi, if there's a cutout in the windpipe, how large does it need to be to make the animal or the bird chase? So Rabbi Shimon Levi says, what are you asking? Mishnah Shlema Shanina. We learned explicitly in the Mishnah before. Ad ki iser haitalki. We said as long as if the hole is up to, but not the size of an iser haitalki, then it's safe. We said once it's an iser haitalki, it's safe.
Did we say... exact size of the
yeah, that's what we said. But that's what that was the whole ad b'chal and ad b'lai b'chal, right? Okay. Amar loy, so Rav Yosi ben Nehorai says to Rav Yishur ben Levi, I'll tell you why I'm asking. There was a case with a female sheep, a ewe, that lived in our neighborhood. There was a cutout in its windpipe, which would have been large enough to make it today. And what they did is the people in that neighborhood made for it they made kind of a makeshift windpipe for it using a tube from a weed. Like they took a tube from bamboo or something and then used it like sort of like they do nowadays after a tracheotomy or whatever. And then the bird lived. So therefore, on the face of it, then that's not enough to make it trace, because then it would mean it didn't live. That's the answer. Amaloi, so Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says to Rabbi Yosi ben Nehorai, are you thinking to rely on such a thing because you saw that it healed? You think such a thing should be mutter?
Da means
Valda means on this.
On
on this. Asamech, are you being samech? V'halacha revachas Yisrael. It's a well known and well and generally accepted din among the Jewish people. Shmutas yerach ba'oif treifa. That if a bird's leg is dislocated, it's treif. That's why we're bringing this in over here, because we see from the way Rabbi Yisrael Levi is phrasing it that it's an obvious, well known thing that it's treif. Therefore, we ignore all the previous opinions that said that it's kosher. And by the way, the halacha is like that in Shulchan Aruch, although, again, given that you have the different the possibilities that maybe some of the genium of Rav were talking about the middle joint, and then the halacha, if the middle joint is dislocated, it's not a problem as long as it's semis hagidin. We're talking about the hip joint, right? Okay. And continues Rabbi Shimon Levi. I'll give you another such example. Rabbi Shimon ben Chalakta had a chicken, shenishmata yerachala, where it thigh got dislocated, but also a shreferes shokana, and again also they made for it a makeshift joint, again using a tube from a reed, the choisa, and it was able to live. And we know for a fact that that's today. El amai isla chomemar. So continues Rabbi Shurban Levi. So what do we do with your example with the windpipe and Rabbi Shimon Ben Chalakta's example with the leg? What do you have to say? Toich yud beis chodesh haba. The answer must be, sure, it lived. And maybe even the wound or the break or whatever started healing. But it didn't end up living 12 months. It ended up dying within the 12 months, which we learned at the beginning of the parak, is the definition of a tzareifa. Hachanam, toich yud beis chodesh haba. The same thing in your case with this you. Sure, they made it a krumis shokan. And maybe even the windpipe started healing. But eventually it died within 12 months. But therefore, so we see from this story that Rabbi Shurban Levi takes it as a given that Shmutas Yerach Ba'ur's Tereifa, and he calls it Halacha Rebachas, and a well accepted Halacha among the Jewish people. And we're not talking about it in the right exactly. That we don't know. Right. Well, so there's no reason to say that they're Tereifa, so therefore we can say that they're cautious. The Rashba has a fascinating expression about this. The Rashba has a tshuva on a similar topic. Somebody was asking him about, we're going to deal with later on the question we've been talking here and there throughout the parak about if a certain organ is missing.
Right.
What if you have two of a certain organ? So you have a concept. You have a duplicate. For example, an animal is supposed to have one windpipe. What if it has two? An animal is supposed to have one cecum. What if it has two? We're going to talk about a couple of such cases. The halacha is kol yeser kenotel dami. Also, they talk about it in Shulchan Aruch, for example, talks about it. What if an animal has an extra leg? Kol yeser kenotel dami, when you have something added, it's the equivalent of it being taken away. The Gemara is going to discuss that later on in the coming days.
So therefore
it's true. So the Rashba was asked, what about, we have a case with an animal like that was born with an extra leg, and we see it lives a long time.
Right.
So the Rashba writes a tshuva on it, where he references this Gemara and a couple of others. He says like this, he brings us to the statement from Rabbi Shurban Levi. He says like this, I'll translate it as I'm going rather than reading and translating. He says, when he says to Rabbi Yosi ben Nehoroi, you're relying on this, meaning Rabbi Shurban Levi is saying it's impossible. You're giving edus on something that it's impossible that you saw with your own eyes. There's something else going on over here. So therefore, he says the same thing over here. He says the Rashba. You think it lived 12 months? No, how do you know for sure? Maybe you forgot. Maybe you got mixed up on the date. Maybe you mixed up this animal with another one. It's impossible that you were watching this animal the entire 12 months. And the Rashba continues, if somebody is going to insist, no, absolutely, I saw the Rashba uses a sharp expression, Ahavti Dvorim Zorim, I love strange things. In other words, I don't care to listen to the Chachamim, I'm going based on what I saw. We tell him, you can't be, to be Moitzi Laz of the Chachamim, to impugn the truth of what the Chachamim say, Efsher, is impossible. And the Rashba says, a person who gives such edus, him and 1,000 people like him can disappear, and not one drop, one dot of what Chachmei Yisrael have agreed on, the holy Chachmei Yisrael, Nevi'im and B'nai Nevi'im, are based on things that were told to Moshe Sinai, impossible to contradict it. Very sharp expression that Ashby uses over there.
Because it says here,
well, that's effectively that's what he amounts to. In other words, that no matter what you think, there's no way that you could possibly contradict even the tiniest bit of what Chachamim are saying. The Chachamim are telling us such a creature can't live 12 months, and that's it. It can't live more.
Yeah, I like that. It did. Shiva said, the two didn't change. You know?
Well, it could be Nishtanu Atilim. I mean, Nishtanu Atilim, they're not... Okay, the Rashba is not dealing with that part. But maybe, I mean, the Rashba is not dealing with that part. He's just saying if a person claims that he saw this creature live for 12 months, it's impossible, and therefore we have to discount what he's saying. With that said, I mean, forget about Nishtanu Atilim. The Marshal wants to say, not necessarily like that. You could have one in a million animals might be able to live more than 12 months even with a chase. It doesn't change the dinim, but you wouldn't totally discount what the guy is saying. You can't use it to contradict what Chazal is saying, like what Ashba says, but nevertheless, you also don't have to say that the guy is lying or mistaken or what have you. It could be if it's this one in a million, whatever. Okay.
Exception concerning the rule.
Yeah, okay. All right. Continues the Gemara. Since we're talking about Rav Shimon ben Chalakta and what he did for the sort of chicken that had its leg dislocated, Amru Olav al Rav Shimon ben Chalakta sha'askin b'dvarim hoya, they said about Rav Shimon ben Chalakta that he was an experimenter, that he would do experiments to see not specifically the dislocating. We'll see soon an example of we'll see soon one of the experiments that he did.
Right.
Well, we'll see two of them actually.
Right.
So he tried an experiment in order to disprove the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Namely, we learned in our Mishnah, we said that if a bird is missing its large feathers, everybody agrees it's still kosher. But we said, Rabbi Yehuda has said, that if the down, the little feathers closer to the skin are gone, then the bird is straight. So Rav Shimon ben Chalakta did an experiment to disprove it. One second. When you do, how is it any different than animal experimentation nowadays? We don't have a choice. But that's it. You do it. You try to avoid it if possible. But if you can't, then you do it. The Tzar Bala Chaim is only insofar as it's not being done for some constructive purpose. Here, it's being done for a constructive purpose. So Rav Shimon ben Chalakta had a chicken, where the down from it had been removed, and it doesn't necessarily mean, by the way, maybe Rav Shimon ben Chalakta himself didn't remove it, maybe it just fell out on its own. Whatever it is, so Rav Shimon ben Chalakta did as follows. First of all, he put the chicken in the oven, not to kill it, not hot enough. Relax, we're not talking about hot enough to kill it. He put it in the oven in order to start warming it up.
Hot oven.
In an oven that was warm enough to keep it hot.
Just to warm it.
The Tola Aleh, the Matlis Shal Parsim, also he covered it, he wrapped up the chicken in a cloth used by Parsim. So Rashi explains that Parsim are coppersmiths. Now they have, usually in front of them, when they're working with copper, you have little bits of copper, little fragments of little shavings of copper that come off when you're working with it. You don't want to lose them. They're ultimately worth something. So therefore you put a cloth over there, a piece of leather over there, and that way it catches these pieces, and eventually that way you can take them and remelt them down. The point being, in other words, that kind of thing, because it's thick, and because you have these metal shavings in it, that keeps it warm. So that was an extra thing. He took such a thing, so one of these pieces of leather that copper workers used, and wrapped it around the chicken, again, in order to preserve its body. So this just brings a couple of other possibilities. Tarsium doesn't always mean copper workers. Tarsius points out various other Gemaras where it means weavers or people from a place called Tarsium. Whatever it is, the point is Rav Shimon ben Chalakta is trying to do something to help the chicken retain its body heat while it doesn't have it down. And it ended up growing even bigger feathers than it had originally. So therefore, sort of Shimon Chalakta says, that disproves Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. He's saying if the down is gone, the bird is inevitably going to die. Here we see it's not so.
Right.
Okay.
Well, wait a second. He grew bigger feathers. That doesn't prove anything.
Well, one thing is, feather. In the Mishnah, we use different expressions for feathers and for down. One explanation is when we say knafayim, we mean down. We're using the word knafayim in a broader sense. In other words, the down feathers, but it grew more down than it had originally. So we see that Rav Shimon ben Chalakta did these kind of experiments. So the question is, how does that disprove Rabbi Yehuda's opinion? The Duma Kasavar of Yehuda Trefa Mashbachas. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda holds that a Trefa is not necessarily going to keep on deteriorating and getting sicker and sicker. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda holds, which in fact we're going to discuss further down on the Amud, that a Trefa is actually able to improve in health during the time that it's alive. The answer is, in came midi de matayfer ba higdilok nafayim achronim yeskim erashonim. Okay, but even so, even if you're going to say that a treifa animal or bird can improve in health in some other area, but in the very thing with which it became treif, you're going to say higdilok nafayim achronim yeskim erashonim that it grew more down or more feathers than it had before. Everybody would agree that whether you say a treifa improves in health or not, it's surely not going to improve in health in the very thing with which it became treifa. So therefore, so this experiment of Rav Shimon ben Chalafta's disproves Rav Yehuda's opinion. It proves that, in other words, just because a bird lost its down, then doesn't necessarily make a trait. Now, what is the actual halacha?
So we accept that it disproves it.
Well, so what is the actual halacha? So many Rishonim say, okay, well, there you go. Anyway, you have the halacha is usually not like one opinion against the Chachamim. So therefore, if you have Rav Yehuda against the Chachamim. On the other hand, we discussed in connection with the Mishnah, not necessarily was Rav Yehuda arguing with the Chachamim anyway. He may just be clarifying what they say. There are Rishonim who say that we should still respect Rav Yehuda's opinion. And fine, you know, so as usual, with such things, in a case of Hefsid Merubah, where you have a great financial loss, or where we're talking about a poor person, like, you know, this is all they can afford, this is the only chicken they can afford for Shabbos or whatever, then fine, you can be mateful. But otherwise, you should respect, as many, many posts can say, you should respect the Yehuda's opinion. So that's the halacha. In principle, it's not treif if the down, but we, as much as possible, we respect the Yehuda's opinion, and therefore, with that said, by the way, the Terumah Chadeshin does add an interesting detail. Sometimes you have that a bird loses its down and its feathers, not because of sickness or whatever, but because it was overfed. It's too fat. He says that's different. That won't make it treif according to anybody, because if the whole point is, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, as we see from the story over here, that the whole problem is once it loses its down, it's not going to be able to retain its heat. But if it's fat, then it'll be able to anyway. Then it's obviously not because it was injured or whatever, so therefore it can still be kosher. My Askan Bidvarim, okay, going back to Rav Shimon ben Chalafta, we're saying we described him as Askan Bidvarim, that he did experiments, that he was an experimenter. Yeah. So in what sense was he an Askan Bidvarim? Now, we just had an experiment of his, but one thing is, one experiment doesn't make a person an Askan. Askan implies that he habitually does this, so we need another experiment of his. A couple of other explanations why. Anyway, Amr Mishashia. So Mishashia says he was an experiment, he was another experiment that Rav Shimon ben Chalafta did. So like this, it starts out, you have a pasuk in Mishlei, Leich el Nemala Osel, the Shlomo HaMelech says, lazy person, go look at the ant, go to the ant, Re'ed Rechecha V'Chacham, see its ways, see how it acts, and you'll become wise, that you see, Asher En Lakotin Shoter Emoshel, the ants don't have any leaders or police or rulers. Hold on. No, they have a queen. They have a queen, but that's she's the mother of the colony. She lays the eggs. We're going to see it in the Gemara now. Okay, continues the pasuk. Tochen makayis lachma, and yet it prepares its food during the summer, and that way it has what to eat during the winter. And in fact, you have a Gemara in Erevin that actually says that if the Torah hadn't been given, which when the Rebbeim quoted this, they would always ask Chas v'Shalom, we would be able to learn midas tovus from the animal kingdom, including we would be able to learn not to steal from ants. Because they eat, no ant steals food from any other. Yeah. They prepare, each of them prepares their food themselves. They work, the colony works together.
One column carries the food, and the other one never takes food away from that.
Right, okay. So that's the pasuk, or it's psukim, actually. Omar, so what's the experiment that Rav Shimon ben Chalafta did? He says to himself, Ezel echzi ivadehu deles lehu malka. Let me see if indeed it's so that they don't have a king. Now, what are we talking about? Tosfos says, wait a minute, so what happened to this? This is Malaglag al Divrei Chachamim. Wouldn't this be that he's making fun of I have to see it for myself in order to believe it? Right. So Tosfos says, it's not that he's not believing. He's saying, I want to see how did Shlomo himself figure out that ants don't have a leader. How did Shlomo himself figure it out? He's going to do an experiment to figure out, to see how Shlomo figured this out. Now, Shaw says that's not necessarily the answer, because ultimately we could say, in fact, the Gemara itself is going to say that Shlomo knew it was Ruach HaKodesh. But rather, why is he not Malaglag al Divrei Chachamim? Maybe he did, but whatever, yeah. But anyway, well, the Gemara is going to point out that Rav Shimon ben Chalafta's experiment, which we're going to describe now, was inconclusive anyway. But anyway, the point is that so Tosfos says that all it is he wants to reconstruct how Shlomo found this out. Marashah says that's not it. We should assume that Shlomo knew it was Ruach HaKodesh, as in fact the Gemara itself concludes. Rather, Marashah says there's no problem if you told something in Torah doing an experiment to see if you can replicate it. You're not disbelieving what the Torah says. You're doing an experiment to see whether you can replicate what the Torah says. That's not true. You're doing it because you want to learn. You want to learn better. You want to learn and understand the Torah better. In this case, he wants to learn and understand it makes you understand when the Pasuk is telling you that ants don't have a leader, that he sees that this way. You can see. Here's an example. I'll show you how you see from this experiment that they don't have a leader. There's other explanations as well, including another interesting explanation is since Shlomo himself uses the expression go, he says go to the ant and see its ways, that means Shlomo himself is effectively telling you, go do the experiment and you'll see for yourself that ants don't have a leader and yet they prepare their food in vain. Okay. So what was the experiment? Also with Kufas Tamud, so Reb Shimon Chalakta goes during the summer when it's sunny out, so ants usually stay out of the sunlight. He took his coat and spread it over an ant nest. So now it seems like it's dark, which is safe. It's safe for ants to come out. Sure enough, one ant came out to see that it was and saw that it was shady. Rav Shimon Chalakta made a marking on that ant so that later on he'd be able to recognize it among all the other ants. Oh, and then that ant went back into the nest, Omalahu, and he says to the other ants, Nafaltula, it's shady out, it's safe to come out. Nafakuva also, so sure enough, all the ants start coming out. Then Dalia Leglime, then Rav Shimon Chalakta removed his coat, Nafal Shimsha, so all of a sudden it's sunny again. Hey, wait a minute, we're in danger. Naflu alei v'katle. So all the ants immediately fell on that one ant and killed it for lying to them. Omar, so Rabbi Shimon Chalakta says, Shema mina laflu malka. Nu, you see from what just happened over here, they obviously don't have a king. They don't have a supreme ruler. De'i islahu, because if they have a king, shouldn't they have to first go and get permission from the king to kill this one? The fact that they killed him without anything shows that they're a decentralized society. However, Rav Acha Brei D'Rava says to Rav Ashi, that's not really a valid experiment. First of all, the Dilma Malka have a badai. Second of all, maybe the king was right there with them, so they could do summary judgment right there on the spot, because Or maybe they had a standing order, standing permission from the king, that anybody who lies and puts the colony in danger should be killed on the spot. Inami ben Malka Lamalka, or maybe there was an interregnum. Maybe it was the previous king had died and the new one hadn't been appointed yet. When there's no king, then there's anarchy. So the experiment is not really ironclad. Ultimately, we have to rely on the reliability of Shlomo. We can rely that Shlomo knew what he was talking about. As Rashi says, he must have known it was Ruach HaKodesh. Because there isn't really any experiment that you can devise that would show this definitively. So if Shlomo is telling us as a fact that they don't have a ruler, then it must be that he knew it was Ruach Kodesh. Okay, but anyway, that's why we call Rav Shimon Chalakta Askan Bidvarim, because he did these kinds of experiments.
We don't judge him for that.
That's Tosfos is saying. That's Tosfos and Marsha and everybody else is saying, of course, now. Okay. Going back to the matter of Treifus, Omer Avuna, Simen L'Treifa Yud Beis Chodesh. A simen, when you have a case of an animal which is Sofet Treifa, is if it lived for 12 months. Now, in principle, the way the Gemara is saying it, Simen L'Treifa Yud Beis Chodesh, makes it sound like it would apply even to a Vadei Treifa. However, the poskim say no. If you have an animal which is Vadei Treifa, with any of the Treifas that we've been discussing in this parak, even if it lives for 12 months, as the Rashba is saying, maybe you made a mistake, maybe you got mixed up on the date, maybe you mixed it up with another animal, etc. So again, first of all, you have poskim who say that when you say 12 months over here means if it's an Ibru year, then it would mean it has to be the Ibru month as well, but whatever, okay, fine, in a regular year. No, so that's the point. According to the Rashba, it's impossible, There's no possible way that an animal that's Vade Tureifa could live 12 months. If you claim it is, you must be mistaken somehow or other. According to Maharshal, okay, maybe it's the one in a million or whatever. It still doesn't change the fact. What we're talking about over here, Rabbeinu is saying, is if you have an animal that is a Suffolk Tureifa and it lives for 12 months, then you know that it's okay.
Well, that's obvious, isn't it?
No, it's not so obvious. Again, because maybe what if it's one of that million?
Suffolk Tureifa and it lives 13 months, why should it be Tureifa?
Because maybe you could argue, like the Maharshal say, maybe it is more that one in a million, or maybe like the Rashba say, maybe you got mixed up with another animal. But no, if it's only a Suffolk Tureifa, then that's acceptable. With that said, by the way, well, yes, however, it does say in Shulchan Aruch, based on the Gemara that we had the other day, that in general you shouldn't keep it around that long because you have the problem of takala, that somebody may forget and shecht it and eat it during that period, not realizing that it's Suffolk Tureifa. But if it ends up living for 12 months, then it. Okay. The Gemara says, mate, so you have a contradiction to that. A braisa says, simen latreifa, what is a simen of an animal that's treifa? Kol she'eni yeledes, if it's not able to give birth. Now, by the way, we have a big machlokas who's showing him what we mean by this. Does it mean that it can't even become pregnant? Does it mean that it's able to become pregnant? Yeah, that would be a simen of a treifa animal, yeah. So you have a machlokas who's showing him whether it means it can become pregnant, it just can't give birth to live young, it'll miscarry or whatever. Does it mean maybe that it can't even become pregnant? And what about if it was pregnant at the time when it became treifa? Does this mean that it wouldn't be able to give birth to live young or not? Anyway, Reb Shimon Gamliel says, here's a different way of looking at it. Mashbachas v'hilachas, if you see that the animal is improving in health, b'yaduashik sheira, then you know it's kosher. Misnavna v'hilachas, on the other hand, if you see it deteriorating in health, b'yaduashik sheira, then you know it's sheira. Rebbe Yomer, and the braisa continues.
Sheva, right?
Yeah. Rebbe Yomer, simen l'treifa shloshim yom. Rebbe says, a simen of a treifa is that it won't live for 30 days.
Not 12 months.
So not 12 months, right. One second. Amrulai, so the Chachamim said to Rebbe, what do you mean 30 days? You have many animals that become treif and live, or suffer treif at least, and live for 2 or 3 years. So you don't have any opinion in this braisa that says 12 months. Where is Ravuna getting the 12 months from? By the way, you also have at the beginning of the parak we talked about, Tosfos discusses over there, when you say shtayim shalosh shanim, does it mean even that opinion says it's not going to live more than 2 or 3 years, but or does it mean 2 or 3, meaning indefinitely? It might live indefinitely along with it. Okay. Anyway, the answer is tanoim. It's actually machlokas tanoim. Besides the tanoim that we had in this braisa, we have other tanoim who have different opinions on this subject. And Ravuna is following one of them. The Tanya, as we learn in a braisa, now we're going to talk about a case of treifas involving a person, but again, in general, unless we know otherwise, we assume that treifas are similar in a person than is in an animal. Treifas talked about it earlier in the past. We have the case, for example, of the guy whose brain, who had a concussion or something, he slipped on the floor over there and banged his head against the wall or the floor or whatever. We talk about this mazmiz over there and related it to an animal. So yes, there's a certain similarity. Yeah. Okay, so you have like this. We learned near the beginning of the parak that you have cases where you have a case where a skull is missing some of its matter, where a hole was cut in the skull. How large does that hole have to be in order for a person or an animal to be treifa? So we said it was actually machlokas b'shamay b'tilul. The Shammai had said if the hole is the size of a drill hole, specifically not just any drill, but specifically the drill, the kind of drill that they use in the Beit Mikdash, which makes a fairly large hole. I don't remember. No, not a finger. Whatever it was. And Bishilol says it's the amount that if you removed an equivalent amount from a live person's skull, it would kill them. Anyway, and so... So we mentioned Acela in that connection, and we had we mentioned Acela in that connection, right? But that's actually Bishilol's opinion, right? But Shammai is saying that it's the amount, the size of the drill hole. It's roughly that size, but maybe a little bit maybe. Well, it depends what kind of drill. But you're talking about. But yeah. Anyway, now what the context we learned over there was that if the skull is missing that amount of bone, then it's not metamei ba'ol. But we said also earlier in the parak a couple of times that Shmuel had said the same machlokas applies also to Hilchos Treifas, that if the skull is missing that amount of bone, then the animal or the bird will be treif. Right. So the braisa says, overgogolus, ad sheyeshva nekev echad aruch, suppose that the hole in the skull is not round, suppose it's long and skinny. equivalent of Kovim Harbe, or even if you have, it's not one hole, but many different holes. Mitzdansim, Lemloy Makdeach, it adds up together to make the size of a drill hole, according to Bishamai, or the other amount, according to Bishamai. We're mentioning Bishamai because they mention a specific amount, the size of a drill hole. Bishamai is just saying the amount that if you removed it from a person's skull, it would kill them. So it's an amount, it's a seller, whatever, but it's not defined in the Mishnah. So therefore we're using Beis Shammai, but we're not saying the halacha is like Beis Shammai, we're just using them because they give a defined measurement. Anyway, the point is that so the Tanakhama of this Braise is saying that it's not just if there's one hole the size of the Makdeach, it would make that it's not the time of the oil and the animal is today. It's also even if the hole is a different shape, or even if it's a bunch of holes combining together. Amar Rav Yosi ben Amshulam, but Rav Yosi ben Amshulam says, no, Maisa be'inbol, it happened in Inbol, name of a place, the Echad shenifchasa gugolto, somebody's skull had been broken, had a break in it, had a hole in it, but also the chiduk shel kevia, they made for him they took a piece of a dried pumpkin and used it to cover the hole in his skull, v'choya, and he ended up living. On the load of Shimon Elazar, Misham Raya. So Shimon Elazar says to him, you bring a proof from that. What happened is, that happened, it worked for him during the summer. The Kivin Sha'avru Olav, Yemoisat Sina, but eventually it came the cold weather, Miyad Mes, and he died because the piece of pumpkin peel over there, no, not so much a trunk, but it wasn't enough to be able to protect his brain from the effect of the cold. So therefore, what do you see from Rav Shimon Elazar's opinion? That he says, therefore, that unless a person or an animal lives for 12 months, meaning that it lives through all the possible different seasons, then you can't say that necessarily it's not a trick. So Rav Huna, who mentioned 12 months, is going according to Rav Shimon Elazar.
Right. But what about the 30 days?
What do you mean? Rebbe said 30 days. Fine. The halacha is not licensed.
How can you take 30
days then? Okay, Rebbe is maybe talking about certain kinds of chalitzas. Whatever, the point is that, okay, I mean, the Chachamim argued with him that sometimes you have 2 or 3 years. But Rav Shimon Elazar is saying once you have that, if you see that the person or the animal is able to survive through all the different changes of seasons, then it means they're not a tzareka. So Rav Huna is following that. So again, if the vada...
So then you have a proof that you go by what you see also.
Of course, to a certain extent, we go by what we see, but because we're dealing with the trefa. So we have these are all the chachamim talking over here. So they're right. I mean, they're obviously. I mean, they're at times they need to base themselves. They still have to base themselves on what we see in the actual world.
Right.
But unlike the person who was asking the Rashba over there, where the Rashba says maybe you're not sure, maybe you got mixed up on the dates, the Chachamim we know are reliable on these things.
Right.
So if they say that this guy lived for 12 months, that he lived for almost 12 months, but that he died towards the end of the 12 months, then we can rely on them. Okay. Okay, so as far as the 12 months, yes, the halacha is like Rav Huna on that if you have a sofet trefa and it lives for 12 months, then you know it's good. Now, the Achava Yaakov says, what about...
It's not a Vaday,
right. If it's a Vaday and you claim it lived for 12 months, okay. Either like the Rashba says you don't know what you're talking about, or like the Maharshal says it's the one in a million, but it doesn't disprove that. Okay, fine. Now, we had a Machlokas over here in this Braisa that we quoted. We said the first Tana in the Braisa says that a Trefa won't be able to give birth. Okay. Rav Shimon Gamliel said that only if it is deteriorating in health, then we know it's a Trefa. So, Amar Avacha Bayakov, halacha trefa yeladis mashpachas. The halacha is not like those two opinions. The halacha is a trefa animal or bird is able to give birth, and it is able to improve in health. It'll still die within 12 months, but during that time, it can still give birth and again. Amar Amemar, Samemar says, therefore, there's a halacha connected with that deed. Hani beyed trefa. If you have eggs from a bird that's trefa, suffix trefa, that is.
Right.
According to Rav Achav Yaakov, it could even be vada trefa, because he says that a trefa is able to actually give birth.
Right.
Yeah. Shichala kama asira.
It's just life that it doesn't sustain.
Well, according to the Tanoim that we quoted before, we said it won't be able to give birth.
Right.
Rav Achav Yaakov disagreed with that. Now we're going to discuss later on whether the halacha is like Rav Achav Yaakov in that. But right now, a Amemar is saying if you have birds of a trefa, so in the end, okay. So as a preview, in the end, the halacha is not like Rav Achav Yaakov. A trefa is not yeledes. Now, well, with that said, though, keep in mind, again, there's that machlokas rishonim, what it means, yoledes or eni yoledes. Does it mean that even if it was pregnant at the time when it became tshrefa, it won't be able to give birth to fully formed live young? Or does it mean whatever it was pregnant with, sure, it'll be able to give birth. It just won't be able to get it to begin a new pregnancy and carry to term after that.
Okay.
So if we have
full pregnancy when it's tshrefa, that's
impossible. That is impossible, is the halacha, right? But Rav Acha by Yaakov, it said not like that, that it could even give birth. So when Amemer is talking about birds, it's talking about eggs from a trefa. So there's a couple of possibilities. He may be talking about a sophic trefa, or he may be talking, or according to Rav Acha by Yaakov, he could be talking even about a bottle. Anyway, what it is like this. So now you have chickens and other birds. You have a bunch of eggs developed, a cluster of eggs start developing at the same time inside the bird.
Right.
And then, as each one gets completed, then it gets laid. That's chickens lay eggs every day, usually, but it takes 21 days for the egg to be fully formed. So what it is the usual way, as it's now. Now you have, we also have to keep in mind, when it comes to chickens and other birds, there's two ways in which they can lay eggs. There can be the usual ways they'd be fertilized by a male. They'd start developing eggs, and then they'd be fertilized by the rooster, and those will develop. Those can develop chicks. Those can develop embryos. Or you have it can produce eggs on its own by parthenogenesis, and those are going to be infertile eggs.
Right.
So, like this, when you have a bird, look,
they always produce eggs.
They always produce eggs. Right. The question is whether they're fertilized or not. Right. But the point is, it produces a cluster of eggs, and then the eggs in the cluster get finished and laid on an individual basis. So you'll have, it takes 21 days, again, let's say, for example, on Rosh Chodesh Shvat, the chicken started producing a bunch of eggs, then it lays the first one, it lays the first one 21 days later, Chafala Shvat, the next one Chafay Shvat, the next one Chaf Gimel, and so forth. Okay.
But the female knows which male to fertilize them?
No, I don't know. Then why would it? Okay. When you have eggs of a trefa, so let's talk about a liber d'hilk. So let's talk about the according to the final halacha, which is that a trefa bird is not able to carry to full term. However, it can already be carrying eggs that are partly formed when it became a trefa. So shichala kama asira, the first batch of eggs that it lays after that are also, because they became trefa at the same time as it. After that, if it develops a new cluster of eggs, then you have the zevzeh gerdim, because you have the hen, which now we're saying is trefa, but you also have the rooster, which is not trefa. The two of them combine together to make these eggs or to fertilize them, whatever, and therefore that's called zevzeh gerdim, and such a thing is mutter. When you have something that's brought about by one thing which is osur and another thing which is mutter, then the things are mutter. Yeah. So therefore, here you have it. Isser and heter together combined together to create.
The isser would be what?
The isser would be the hen, which is trefa.
And the mutter would be the rooster, which is not trefa.
So therefore, it's zevzeh gerdim, therefore it's mutter. Rav Ashi says to Amemer, I have a contradiction. We learn in a Mishnah, the Shavin, they both agree, who's the they, we'll talk about in a second, the Beitas Trefa Shasura, about the egg of a bird that's Tref, Shasura, that such an egg is Osir, Mephnesha Godlova Isser, because it grew in Isser, because it grew inside of a bird, which is Tref. Yes. Now, who is the they who agree? Rashi says it's Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim who disagree. We're going to have in a few lines about an animal. An animal that's trefa, if it gave birth to a baby, is that baby kosher or not? And is it kosher for a korban or not? As we're going to discuss. So they would both agree about eggs that they would be osur. Tosfos says that's not who we're talking about. We're talking about this Shammai and Basil. It's a Mishnah and Adius that they talk about. They argue about the case of the egg of a nevela, and then they both agree about the case of an egg laid by a tree. Anyway, the point is that you see from this Mishnah that the egg of a tree for bird is also. So what are you Amemar telling me it's mutter on the grounds of zevzeh gerdim? The answer is Hossam but Safna Me'ara. That Mishnah is talking about a case where it was parthenogenesis, where Safna Me'ara literally means it was heated up by the ground. In other words, the bird was stimulated to produce, the hen was stimulated to produce eggs by rubbing against the ground, not by being fertilized by men. Yeah, that's parthenogenesis. Many types of birds are able to produce eggs that way. Yeah. Okay. So therefore,
they're not fertilized.
That's the point. They're not fertilized. There's no zebrazegurim. There's only the one factor, the mother, and the mother is us. Okay. The question is, v'lishni le v'shichlakama. Now, why does a Amemar have to answer Rav Ashi that? Why does a Amemar have to answer Rav Ashi that we're talking about a case of unfertilized eggs, and the reason why they're author shichla means a cluster.
Kama
means the first. Come on, like Baba Kama. Yeah. The question is, why, like this, okay. Amemar had said that the first batch is author, and then after that they're mutter. Because there was a girl. Rav Ashi had asked him, you have a Mishnah that says that it's also. And Amemar says there's a difference. I'm talking about fertilized eggs. The Mishnah is talking about unfertilized eggs. Now, why didn't Amemar make a different distinction? Why doesn't he answer? I'm talking about the first batch. The Mishnah in Adias is talking about the second batch. The second cluster that first started being created and eventually were laid after the bird became traded. The answer is in King Godla, but in that case, why would the Mishnah be using the expression Godla Gomra Miboyle? Then instead, the Mishnah should be the other way around. We should say the Mishnah is talking about the first batch, which Amemar had said are also because they became treif along with the mother. The problem with that is, if you understand the Mishnah to be talking about the first batch instead of Godla, which implies that the entire growth process took place the Isser, Gomra Miboyle. Instead, the Mishnah would have had to use the word Gomra, implying they started out in a condition of Heter, and then in the middle of their development, you had a problem with Isser. The fact that it uses the expression Godla implies that the entire development of it was the Isser. So you can't say the difference between the first and the second batch. You have to, therefore, say that's the difference between unfertilized and fertilized eggs. That's why Amemar had to answer that way. The question is, Eloha Ditsan, or Ditanya really, the Braisa. In that case, what are you going to do with this that it says in a Braisa? Vlad Trefa, if you have a baby animal born from a mother that was Trefa, Rabbi Eliezer says you cannot bring the baby animal as a korban, and Rabbi Yeshua says you could.
How could it be Trefa? One parent is Yisur and the other one is not?
Okay, so you had that the mother animal was pregnant.
Right.
The mother animal, well, one possibility is the mother animal was pregnant.
Right.
At the time she was, during the time she was pregnant, she became a treifa somehow or other, attacked by a lion or what have you. And now, later on, the baby was born.
Yeah.
Again, according to the opinions that said treifa yeledes, and it means even to full term, it could even be that she was treifa from before, then became pregnant, and now we're talking about whatever. Anyway, the point is, Rabbi Eliezer is saying you can't bring the baby animal to korban, and Rabbi Yeshua is saying you can. Now, the my committee, so what's the underlying argument? Now, so Rashi explains, we have to say that we're talking about the case where the mother became chaste before she became pregnant. Where then you can talk about zebazagurim. You have a mother animal that was osir and a father animal that's not osir combined together to create this baby. No, forget about eggs. Here we're talking about an animal. The same principle. If you're going to tell me that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua are saying, when do we say that, or Shama and the syllabus first says, when do we say that eggs of a treifa are osir only if they were unfertilized eggs, but if they were fertilized eggs, you would always say zebazagurim, then in that case, they couldn't be, why would they be arguing about a baby born from a mother that was treifa? It's also zebazagurim. So the Michael, obviously the machlokas must be that the case is the mother became a treifa, then it became pregnant. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer saw the zev as a gerdim after.
Because if
it happened within the pregnancy, there's no reason to say that another way of looking at it would be then they would both have to agree that it's no good because we have a concept called uber yerech imoi. Which actually the Gemara is going to take that up in a minute. The baby is considered an extension of the mother.
Right.
So therefore, if the mother was pregnant when it became a treifa, then the baby becomes a treifa effectively as well. But then, of course,
was pregnant,
if the mother was pregnant when the attack happened, then the baby is considered part of her. So, of course,
right.
just like all of her becomes straight,
right.
so does the baby. There'd be nothing to talk about whether you can bring another carbon. We obviously must be talking about that the treifa happened before it became pregnant, and therefore Rabbi Eliezer Saba Zevezeh Gerdim also, Rabbi Yeshua Saba Zevezeh Gerdim Mutter. That the machlokas must be what happened by Zevezeh Gerdim. Like this, you have a father that's not treifa and a mother that is the baby also or not? So therefore, if we understand it that way, then it seems we have to understand the machlokas of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua that way. So we can't say that they would both agree. So we can't say then that if the eggs were, going back to the chicken, that if the eggs were fertilized, then we would say that it would be mutter, and only if they were unfertilized would it be also. That's not, then Zevezeg, if they're fertilized, you still have the Zevezeg Gerdim issue that should still be arguing about it. So it doesn't seem we can explain it that way.
If they were fertilized.
If they were fertilized, it's Zevezeh Gerdim. You have a hen which is treif and a rooster which is not. And Rabbi Eliezer is saying Zevezeh Gerdim is also, and Rabbi Yeshua is saying it's mutter.
So
they would have to be arguing even when they're fertilized. Why is Amemar saying that if it's unfertilized, then they both agree that it's treif. Implying, in other words, that the...
Why is Amemar saying that when...
Okay, so Amemar is saying that when the egg is unfertilized, so then you don't have Zevezeh Gerdim, then both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua would agree that it's Osir. So it has to be, therefore, that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, where would their machlokas be? Where the mother was treif already. And again, the machlokas is Zevezeh Gerdim.
The mother was treif at the beginning of the pregnancy?
Before the pregnancy. The problem with all that is, e-hochi, if you're going to understand it that way, adem mifligila gavoya, lifligula hedya. In that case, why are they only arguing about can you bring the baby animal as a korban? They should be arguing, is the baby animal kosher or not? If you and Amemar are telling us that the issue between them is Zevezeh Gerdim, okay, so that seems to fit with our Mishnah. That seems to fit with this Braisa, rather, that we just quoted about a korban. But then why are they only arguing about a korban? They should be arguing in general, is the baby kosher or not? And the point is, by the way, when the Gemara says ihachi, in other words, the point is, it's only because of Amemar's explanation that leads us to this problem. Ran explains, if we didn't have Amemar's explanation that the question is Zevezeh Gerdim, then we can understand that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua are arguing about a different case. They could be arguing about when the mother was already pregnant when she became treifa, and the machlokas would be whether the uber is yerech imori or not. But like this, when Amemar is insisting that the issue is Zevezeh Gerdim, and that is why he's saying unfertilized eggs are treif. Fertilized eggs would be subject to the machlokas. Okay, but then why are Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua arguing only about can you bring the baby animal as a korban? Why aren't they arguing more generally? Is the baby animal mutter to eat or not?
It means
that you have two factors that are bringing about a result. One is osur, one is mutter.
Right.
Over here, if you say that the mother became treifa before she became pregnant, then she is the dover gerdim that's osur. On the other hand, the father is the dover gerdim that's mutter. So Amemar is saying, you know why there's a Mishnah in Adius that's saying that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua would agree that an egg of a treif bird is osur is because there's no Zevezeh Gerdim. We're talking about an unfertilized egg. So there's only one parent. But the problem with that is, if that's the case, what are we doing with Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua's machlokas, where they seem to be arguing only about korbanos? They seem to both agree the baby animal is kosher to eat. They're just all right.
Yeah.
The answer is, so that's the question. The answer is, fine. But the reason why the Braisa presents their argument as regards korbanos is to tell us how far Rabbi Yeshua is going with his opinion. That Rabbi Yeshua wants to tell you, not only is a baby animal mutter for a person to eat, you're even able to bring it as a korban. So there's no disproof from there against Amemar. We can still say the machlokas between them is on Zevezeh Gerdim. And so therefore, in principle, the argument would be whether you could eat it or not. Rabbi Eliezer, therefore, would be saying not only you can't bring it as a korban, you can't even eat it, because Zevezeh Gerdim is osur.
Right.
And Rabbi Yeshua would say, be saying not only you can eat it, you can bring it as a korban, because Zevezeh Gerdim is completely mutter.
So both agree that the same result, whether it's a korban or whether it's eating it.
Right. Right.
If you cannot bring it as a carbon, you cannot eat it. If you cannot bring it as a carbon, you can eat it.
Right. Okay, so the question is, okay, but then why not present the machlokas as being about whether a hedyet can eat it, and that'll show how far Rabbi Eliezer goes with his opinion. To show that you can't even eat it. If you can't even eat it, you for sure can't bring it as a korban. In general, korbanos can only be brought from things that we're allowed to eat. The answer is, okay, but koyach tehetera odi. The answer is, we can assume the Braisa would rather present the machlokas in a way that shows how far the opinion that's makir is going and being makir. To show that Rabbi Eliezer is being machmir, Rashi explains at the beginning of Beisa, where the Gemara has this expression also. To show how far the opinion that's machmir, that says it's also how far they go and mean machmir, that's not so much of a chiddush, because maybe they're being machmir because they actually hold that way. Maybe they're being machmir because they're not sure. But if we see that Rabbi Yeshua is going to the extent of being master, not only that you can eat it, but even that you can bring it as a korban, that means he's absolutely certain of his opinion, and therefore the Braisa would rather present the machlokas in such a way that highlights how far he goes with his hetzer. But still, you could say that Braisa. Well, not, the halacha usually is like Rabbi Yeshua against Rabbi Eliezer anyway, but that's neither here nor there. Yeah. Okay. Fine. So therefore, so we can continue, as we said before, umorgim bebeis das treif for shasura. So then, when would it be that we said that they agree about the egg of a treif, a bird that's osur? If Rabbi Yeshua is saying with the baby of a mother that became treifer, Rabbi Yeshua is saying his mother, that would be talking, as we said, but the safna me'ara, where the hen developed the eggs only from the dirt, in other words, parthenogenesis. That's the chadgurim. Who then you only have one factor. So that takes care of that. Then so we don't have a contradiction from that. Okay. I mean, there is still, so now Tosfos says also. We also have to say, Tosfos says, that you can't say that the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua would be on different factor, whether uber yerech imayu, whether the baby is considered to be a part of the mother and therefore becomes treif along with it, because then what would wind up is a meimer who said the first batch of eggs is osur would end up saying like Rabbi Eliezer, and the halacha is not like Rabbi Eliezer. So in order not to create a there's two possible reasons, right, why Amema could have said that the first batch is also, and after that it's mutter. He said it's because Zev is a goy. We couldn't have said it because of the machlok is over Yerach Imoy, that we could argue that maybe the eggs became treifa when the mother became treifa, because the result would be that then we'd make Amema agree with Rebbe Eliezer, and the halach is not like Rebbe Eliezer, so that wouldn't work. There is still some difficulty with this, which Tosfos talked about a little bit, and other Rishonim talk about, which is we do talk about in many places in Shas that there is the halacha over Yerech Imayhu. The fact of the matter is there is a halacha that an unborn baby is considered like part of the mother. So in that case, why should it be mutter over here if the mother becomes treif? Never mind Zev is a goyim. If the baby is considered part of the mother, then how is it mutter?
Right.
So there's a bit of discussion. There's a bit of discussion about it. I think the Avnei Nezer makes a distinction. He says that the fact of the matter is the baby does have a chayus of its own. It may be considered a limb of the mother, but ultimately it gets born or the egg gets laid and it still becomes a different entity than the mother. So therefore, that could be reason enough to be master it, even if we said, so to speak, that temporarily, while it was in the mother, it was also because it was part of her, but nevertheless, eventually it gets born and it becomes a set or laid. And
after the birth, we say it's different?
Yeah, we could argue, in other words, that as long as it's in the mother, we could argue uber yerech imayhu, and therefore it's considered the same. And if the mother is treif, then it's treif. But once it's born, then already it's a new entity and a new status. Okay.
Is that accepted?
That's accepted. Yeah, I mean, the fact is, the halacha is that the fact is that if a treif animal gives birth to a baby, then the baby is mother. Eggs not.
Baby is
mother. The eggs not, we said, but babies, baby animals are. Okay. Well, we'll continue tomorrow. That's a shame. We have more of this discussion to go, which then later on we're going to get into another way of explaining Rabbi Eliezer, and I'll be sure we're going to get back to the uber yerech imayhu and uber lav yerech imayhu.
How much do you know?
Well, today was supposed to be Daf Samach Beis, I believe. So we're still considerably behind, yeah. Today was Samach Beis. Tomorrow is supposed to be Samach Gimel. So yeah, we're still four and a half, five lot behind, yeah. All right. Eventually, that's the shame.